This is Dr. Allie Evans welcoming you all to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of health topics that affects you and that of our entire community. My guest today is Tiffany Nguyen, and she's a physical therapist at Columbia Memorial Hospital here in Astoria, with a kind of unique specialty on pelvic health. And we'll talk a little bit about how you arrived there, but I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. And give us a little bit of your backstory, kind of your training and how you landed yourself in Astoria and as a physical therapist.
I'm trying to make that quick.
Yeah, right? So for half an hour, tell us your autobiography.
Well, I think it started 8 years ago with the birth of my son, a natural birth, 10-pound baby.
Ooh, not a little guy.
72 hours of labor. So I had problems after that myself.
Yeah.
And so I was in transition with jobs, and I inquired about a job at CMH.
Were you already a physical therapist at that point?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, I've been a PT for 13 years now.
Yeah.
And they were asking for someone to specialize in pelvic health, women's health. And so I jumped on board, and they helped me with the training, and here I am.
Yeah. And before that, what did your PT practice look like? Was it very general, kind of whatever walked in the door?
Yes. I was actually a traveling PT. That's how it landed me in Astoria.
You got to travel all around?
Yeah. So I graduated from USC in Southern California in PT school, and I wanted to travel around and just have fun for a little bit, and that's how I got to Astoria.
So you'd go to like one place and be there for a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. like as a fill-in, and then go mm-hmm. somewhere else?
Yeah, it's a fun gig.
So you were like a PT gypsy.
That's kind of fun. There's a lot of that for different professionals.
Yeah.
Nurses, doctors, they can do the same kind of thing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And so your interest kind of because of your own health
yes.
landed you. And did you see a physical therapist postpartum, like after your son was born? No, wouldn't that have been nice?
Do my own care and figure that out myself. So,
and is that, did you kind of start researching and
figuring it? And I thought it'd be a great opportunity. And I also knew that there was no public health PTs in Clatsop County. So
yeah,
I thought it'd be a great opportunity for myself and to help the community and just be that, have, you know, give access to the community here.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about what pelvic health PT is. Or let's start with just for anyone who's listening that doesn't know kind of what physical therapy is. I know we hear it a lot and we think about it for injuries and musculoskeletal yes. things, but it spans much more than that.
Yeah. And the reason why we can specialize in this area because there's actually muscles down there. So
right.
that's why it's under that umbrella.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And I think of physical therapy, and tell me kind of how you think of it, but I think of it as an alternative to drugs by using kind of physical methods
yes.
to treat the body.
Yes. To restore function.
To restore function yeah. to the body. Yeah.
Movement.
Yes.
We're movement specialists.
Yes.
So that's kind of the general way to put it. I don't want to get too sciencey and
yeah.
talk about it, but just basically to restore function and movement.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I like to summarize that.
And so the most common things that'll end up outside of pelvic health that'll end up in a physical therapist's office is
car accidents, whiplash injuries, stroke. And for pediatrics, they're born with congenital issues that affect their movement.
Yeah.
Palsy.
Yeah.
So I actually do some pediatrics too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my other specialty.
Yeah.
So.
So just to let everyone know, when we talk about pelvic health, it's mm-hmm. not just females. Men have a pelvis as well.
Yes.
They have. So we are talking to every listener yes. out there.
Pelvic floor dysfunction spans across all ages.
Yes.
Both genders.
Yes. And probably the least treated in the sense, this is what I mean, like it's such an area of the body that people don't show up to the doctor over until there's something just so distressing or, mm-hmm. you know, so much affecting their ability and quality of life.
Yeah. And I think I think with social media, you think this would be not a big deal. They'll go see somebody about it. But it's a very intimate topic and nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah. And especially if something's wrong.
Yeah. And I'm surprised at how many people don't know that they can get help for.
Yes.
Whether it's sexual dysfunction, incontinence. And incontinence can span from the age of pediatrics all the way to 60.
Right.
So I've treated a couple kiddos bedwetting.
I mean, yes. It's a lot I see of, this in my practice too. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of that can be because of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, there's some training and whatnot, but there's sometimes they just don't know how the muscle works. So,
yeah, and that's making me think one, I just had a patient recently, a little boy who's eight and a half, mm-hmm. Who has bedwetting mm-hmm. continually. Mm-hmm. And also mom was saying when he will drink like a, you know, let's say he drinks a water bottle or mm-hmm. something, like he'll be sitting and drinking a large quantity.
Yes.
It's just like he has to urinate every 5 minutes. Kind of following that, it's like there's no ability of the bladder to, there's no ability of that muscle of yes. the bladder to actually hold in the liquid yes. with yes. the weight.
Yes. And I think, yes, there's a cognitive component. So there's training. Yes. It can be stress for the kid too. So it's dynamic. It's not just one thing.
Right.
So I would want to work with a team of providers.
Absolutely. And of course, in my world, we think about kind of the more holistic, like the mm-hmm. bladder representing fear and its mm-hmm. water and emotions yes. and all of that, as well as yes. the physical component yes. and the muscle component and the nutritional component.
And for kids, it's a little tricky because it can be stress related too.
Right.
So we have to kind of dive into that a little bit and
right.
refer out if there's something going on.
Absolutely.
Because you think about, you know, our sympathetic system, fight or flight.
That's right.
So
that concept of peeing your pants.
Yes. So half the time, honestly, even with adults, if they had a history of trauma,
yeah,
that's going to affect their pelvic floor function, bowels. So you think about fight or flight.
Yes.
Back in the day when we'd run from something, either we're going to have diarrhea.
Yeah.
Or we're not going to poop for days.
Yeah. Right.
So that's a component I'm seeing now with constipation. And
so. Yeah. And I was going to ask you that kind of trends in, you know, where maybe pelvic health was 50 years ago versus now. And that's a lot. That makes so much sense when we mm-hmm. add the stress component. Our yes. body is in, we think we're running from a tiger yes. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the body functions like reproduction and mm-hmm. urination and defecation and yes. all the things that are the calm part of the nervous system.
Yes.
The body probably cares way less about because it just thinks it's running from this tiger
exactly.
all the time.
I'm sorry. So I think, and in the last 5-10 years, I've been diving into a little bit of mental health. That's not my area, but just
sure.
just being aware
it's all
of
connected.
That.
Connected,
yes. Yeah. And I'm seeing the whole ACE, that's becoming a big thing with medical providers, is being
yes.
aware of history of trauma.
And ACE, for those of you that don't know, is adverse childhood events that affect kind of who we are and who
yes.
we become. Yes.
yes. And so I'm seeing that a lot more in the clinic where
yes.
I'm like, okay, what's your, and I can almost, I would say 80%, I mean, this is just me guessing, but of my patients with constipation usually has a history of trauma.
Yeah. Well, and you think of the bowels as letting go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of letting mm-hmm. go of really traumatic experiences
yes.
that have to happen to feel safe
yeah.
to release.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, trauma just varies for everybody. It can be something that may not be traumatic for you, but for somebody it is. So
mm-hmm.
for instance, I had a girl that had something embarrassing happen in high school or something in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or one girl got bullied in high school and in the bathroom. So that affected her bowel health.
Absolutely.
So stuff like that, it's kind of interesting for me. I'm like learning a lot myself and being aware that's other factors besides just the science component of that.
Yeah. Well, and in our medical system, we're so compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have chronic constipation. We see a gastroenterologist.
Mm-hmm.
The gastroenterologist, especially if it's like atonic constipation, there's not much that can be done,
yes.
right? Eat your fiber, take mm-hmm. some magnesium.
Yeah. But to me, there's a component of cognitive training, stress management, making sure they're healthy in those areas. So I'm referring out sometimes. I'm like, are you seeing? I mean, it's a sensitive topic, but once
yes.
I build rapport with the patient, then
sure.
they'll trust me. I'm like, you know, maybe you should see a counselor about
right.
Your
and you're
past.
Treating them, not just their colon.
Yeah, their whole body. We're treating them as a whole.
Of course.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about pelvic PT mm-hmm. and pelvic physical therapy, what kinds of things would land in the physical therapist's office in that kind of in that range?
Yes. So the biggest one diagnosis is urinary incontinence.
Yeah.
It's probably the biggest one.
Which I hear a lot, and I just want to tell every person listening, it doesn't just come with age, and it just doesn't just come with childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not physiologic. Like there's
yes.
something that can be done to treat it.
And in, let's say you never had vaginal birth. Having a C-section doesn't mean that you're not going to have pelvic floor issues.
Right, right.
And I'm seeing a lot in the last few years that people don't know how to breathe appropriately.
People don't breathe in general.
They don't.
I mean, it's
and
just
I
the
almost,
bare minimum.
I almost want to go to like all the grade schools and just do an in-service on breathing and pooping and peeing
yes.
because people don't don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm having to do some damage control, you know, in their adulthood.
Yes.
How to poop correctly. Sorry, but, you know, defecate correctly and
how
to breathe when they're on the toilet.
Yeah.
People don't do that. And even lifting.
Right.
So prolapse is becoming, I'm seeing that. Prolapse is another diagnosis I'm seeing with our females.
Like vaginal prolapse. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I'll take a look at their breathing. I'm like, you don't breathe.
Yeah.
So when you're pushing and lifting and doing all this stuff that requires...
You're holding your breath.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You should be exhaling. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Anything about laboring with kids, you should be breathing.
Right.
Exhaling.
Right.
So I like to kind of coin this, but I call it the three E's. Exhale on exertion and engage your core and pelvic floor.
Mm.
So it's kind of my three E's.
Uh-huh.
With my patients.
Yes. And that's for any activity. I mean, that could be lifting a laundry basket. That could be
anything.
At the gym with weights.
Mm-hmm.
That could be any exertion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With pelvic floor contraction, you should be exhaling, not holding your breath. So I've been working a lot on just how to breathe.
Uh-huh.
So that's interesting how I'm learning as I go. I mean, I got my specialty in 2008.
Uh-huh.
So within, in the PT world, you can get certifications for that. And I got that. I think 2009, it's been a while. So
yeah.
It's been 10 years, I think. But I have a mentor in Portland. Her name's MJ. She's from Providence and St. Vincent's. But that's who I email when I have, because I don't have anybody else to
That's
work
right. No
with.
One else is doing it here.
And I'm hoping to train some future PTs.
Yes.
To have a team of us.
Yes.
It's just kind of me solo here. But I'm learning as I go, and I'm researching. And I'm learning a lot.
Yeah.
Just with clinical, just with my patients.
Yeah.
So.
And I think oftentimes providers who are going to make referrals for PTs, they'll think about the very obvious things. So especially with pelvic health,
mm-hmm.
they'll think about incontinence, like mm-hmm. we talked about. They'll think about chronic pain.
And prolapse.
And prolapse mm-hmm. and, you know, fecal incontinence and all of those things. But some of the other things that if any of you listeners are suffering from might be really worth advocating for yourself for a referral would be, and add to my list, but I'm thinking of endometriosis with mm-hmm. like chronic pelvic pain, pain with intercourse.
Constipation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Constipation. Interstitial cystitis.
Yes.
Can you think of others that...
So in the last year, I've gotten actually more young male patients
uh-huh.
dealing with pelvic pain.
Uh-huh.
During climaxing.
Uh-huh.
So they're having just recurring spasms.
Like mm-hmm.
spasms.
Yeah.
Of the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a handful of those this year or in the last 2 years, and that's been interesting. Again, there's a lot of mental health components to it. So I'm having to refer some patients to sex therapists, which I don't know we have locally.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know of any in our county.
So I know one in Portland that I refer to a lot
because
I've talked to her and I know who she is.
Yeah.
And she's got a history of dealing with clients with sexual trauma.
Yeah.
So there's that component. So when you're having some persistent chronic pain, which it's been a big thing, not just with pelvic health, but back pain, anything.
Absolutely. Pain is just an epidemic right now.
Mm-hmm. But with persistent pain, there's more than... It's usually there's a mental health component. And I hope people that are listening, when they hear that, it's not taboo.
No, it's that the brain and the organs and the musculature are connected.
Yes.
It's that simple.
But it's still taboo when I say the word mental health.
Like,
well, I'm not crazy. I'm like, that's not the issue. There's a mental health component to everything.
Right.
And I hope one day.
And mental health meaning that our thoughts and our emotions affect our internal holistic well-being.
We're so quick to go see our doctor about a bruise or a cough.
That's right.
But when we're not sure, you know, when it comes to our emotions, it's like, well, we shouldn't talk to anybody about that.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. and that idea of if we're to blame at all, then that puts the onus on us and wow, that's so much harder. And we've created this and how did we get ourselves here?
I hope that changes over time because I think mental health and emotional health is a big part of healing.
And it's very empowering. It's a tool we can use that's so much more in our control to get to health. You know, it's an empowering tool we get to use.
Yes. So not that all patients with persistent, chronic persistent pain are dealing with major mental health issues, but I do kind of screen for that, make sure they're getting help or if they need help in that area.
Yes.
Because that plays a role. Persistent pain is so complicated and dynamic.
Absolutely.
And we've learned so much about that over the last 10 years. And
thank goodness we have options like physical therapy, mm-hmm. like mental mm-hmm. health, mental support. Mm-hmm. We'd like all of these things that are not just painkillers, which yes. is a whole, you know, goes down a whole another slippery slope.
And when people think about conventional PT, they just think, you know, in the gym.
That's right.
But it's different now.
Yeah.
I've been a PT for 13 years and I'm learning there's just more more tools in the box.
And more diversity than people
and
think.
We have to be more holistic in how we're treating, you know, and we should be holistic.
That's right.
Treating the whole body.
You're listening to Coast Community Radio and my guest is Tiffany Nguyen. And we're talking about physical therapy and especially pelvic health and pelvic PT. We're going to take a short break. Yes, sir. Yo. אז איך שנסתכל על זה ונסתכל כן פעמיים היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול כמו שלשום. You're listening to Light on Health. This is Dr. Allie Evans. We are on Coast Community Radio, and I'm talking with Tiffany Nguyen, who is a physical therapist here at CMH in Astoria. Our topic is pelvic health, not just female pelvic health, anyone with a pelvis.
Yes.
And we're talking a little bit about some of the conditions that can be very much helped with PT that we might not be thinking about. I'm curious for you, I know this is a really broad question, but walk us through sort of what it looks like for someone to visit a PT with a pelvic issue, let's say incontinence, for example, mm-hmm. And what the treatment plan looks like and how long you're usually working with people. And of course, it's going to differ
sure.
widely, but
sure. The first visit, we're talking a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of just getting the information, history.
And do they need a referral to get to you?
It depends on their insurance.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. so there's direct access in Oregon for PTs. So just check with your insurance. Sometimes you don't need one, but if you do, insurance wise, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just getting the subjective, getting the history. It's usually a lot of questions because I want to make sure I'm getting to the core of what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm getting to know the patient, what's, you know, the history, you know, social history, everything.
Yes.
So we spend a lot of time with that. So I'm hoping in the future there's a way to expedite that where they can just email me their history and
uh-huh.
we're trying to get that to be more efficient because I want to get to treatment. But in the first visit, it's a lot of education on bladder health, bladder training. So a lot of people don't even know what that means, like what's normal.
That's right.
You know, how much water are you drinking? Are you straining when you're on the toilet? How are you breathing on the toilet?
Right.
Food. So, I mean, I'm not a dietitian by any means, but just how much water are you drinking? Mm-hmm. That's important.
Mm-hmm. And in my world, food sensitivities definitely have an issue on bladder.
Yes.
They will show up in bladder often.
So when you're dealing with specifically urge incontinence, I definitely get on.
Urge incontinence meaning when they have the urge to go, they can't hold it in, meaning when the bladder is.
So there's two types of, so there's an umbrella. There's urge, stress, and mixed incontinence. So stress is usually due to activity, you know,
coughing, sneezing, jumping on a trampoline. Mm-hmm.
And then there's urge where they've developed this habit. Their bladder has just gone haywire and just they get that urge sensation all the time, even mm-hmm. though they don't have a full bladder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a disconnect between the brain and the bladder. So we have to kind of retrain that so that we call that bladder training.
And do you fill their bladder? Do you have them kind of fill their bladder and then work on it? Or
no, so I have them do a bladder diary. Mm-hmm. So just how often are they going? And I, you know, it's too much to have them actually get a cup and measure how much they're going. But so I have them count how long they're actually peeing for on the toilet.
Yeah.
Is it like 2 seconds or are you on there for 20 seconds peeing?
Right. Right.
So that's not the most objective thing, but it's what we can work with.
Yes.
So, you know, I hope they're not getting in the habit of just, oh, let's just in case, let's go pee every half an hour.
That's
the just in case. That's not a good idea. So that's what you're telling the listeners.
Yes. So in school, they were telling us, tell your patients not to jiggy. I'm like, not to jiggy. What do you mean by not to jiggy? So JIC is just in case. So
no just jiggy. In case. Yeah. I love it.
So yeah, actually, we wait until you need to go. So if your urge is at a 1 versus a 10, go when your urge is at a 5, 6, 7.
Yes.
Not when it's a 1.
Yes.
Because then you're not allowing the brain and the bladder to communicate.
And I think the most frequent thing I hear from mostly, I would say, my female patients is at nighttime before bed. They get that just in case, mm-hmm. like multiple yes. times where it's like, I don't want to have to wake up in the middle of the night. Yes. So just one more, one more just in case.
But that is. That
and then it will keep continuing yes. where the brain starts mm-hmm. to like give you the sensation of, oh, I think I still have to urinate. Yes. I think I might still yes. have to go.
And, but you're yeah. not doing any favors to your bladder because you're. The bladder and the brain needs to communicate. They need yeah. to communicate. And you're disrupting that and giving it mixed messages. So over time, some people can develop urge incontinence where it's just your bladder is excitable. Because your bladder mm-hmm. has its own muscle. It's a smooth muscle.
Right.
Which is different than skeletal muscle. So
right.
We don't want to get that to be hyperactive for right. no reason.
And while we're on the subject of bladder, do you treat as well interstitial cystitis?
Yes.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I think of that also as this kind of irritated.
I think that's kind of like what the diagnosis gets given to a patient when the doctor can't figure out what's going on.
Right.
But a lot of times it's bladder training. And two, I think there's definitely, I'm going to keep throwing this in, but there's sometimes an emotional health issue or something going yeah. on, trauma in the past. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm not just. I don't want to generalize, but that's what I see.
Sure.
Clinically.
Well, I remember in medical school, one of my professors, one of the urology professors saying, if you have anything chronic in the urinary system, you have to ask what the patient's pissed off about. And it's that makes so much sense.
Yes.
And not to say that it's always anger, but just no. that idea of these, even these common things we use, but there's a truth to them. And yes. there's places where the emotions show up in
yes.
the body.
Fight or flight. So
absolutely.
Yes.
And typically how many... What's the duration of visits that you see with patients or how many sessions
do you
typically do? On
average, I would say either once or twice a month mm-hmm. after the initial visit.
Uh-huh.
Unless there's other issues like back pain and other things, and then I'll see the patient more frequently.
Sure.
But maybe once or twice a month to follow up.
Yeah.
And if they're doing great, once a month for maybe 3-4 months, and that's about it.
What do you feel like are the conditions you see the quickest success with in your practice?
Stress incontinence. That's yeah. pretty easy.
Not it
easy.
Is.
I mean, yeah. it's pretty straightforward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's probably the easiest to treat.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think it's more mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So you're just kind of treating the actual
muscle.
Physical system.
Yeah. yeah. Urge. There's a lot of bladder training. There's diet, water, other stuff going on.
And talk to all the women out there who are postpartum or have kids and
yeah.
where stress incontinence, they've kind of just realized, oh, if I sneeze, I might pee a little.
And I think that's normal. It uh-huh. doesn't have to be normal.
Right.
You know?
And what's happening there like women will sometimes say, oh, I must have just messed up my bladder with childbirth or, you know, there was too much pushing or.
You mean like the concern about?
Just what I think the misconception of what it is and that they've maybe caused it.
Well, your muscle has been stretched.
Yeah.
So it needs to kind of get back to normal. And it's been deconditioned for a while.
Right.
So, it depends on each client.
Yeah.
We all are made differently.
Absolutely.
Our muscles all work differently for each person. So I can't say this person's going to get stress and cons. I don't know.
Right.
What your history, your genetics and all that.
Right.
So don't think it's anyone's fault. I think part of it's genetics.
Yes.
And how your muscles work.
Right.
Why does this patient get back pain and this other patient doesn't get back pain?
That's
and
right.
they do the same kind of thing. So
right.
it depends.
What about dysmenorrhea? What about pain with menses for women? Is that something that you're working with in your office?
I haven't seen too many, but that's something we can treat because mm-hmm. it can be other things besides what's causing the pain.
Yes.
Like how is their pelvic floor doing? Is it in spasm?
Right.
Not. Is it the back? Are the back muscles in spasm?
Right.
As a secondary thing because of the menses?
Yes.
And so, yes. I mean, I don't know how much of it we can help, but I haven't had too many of those cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
Specifically.
Just thinking of those areas where it's so focused on the kind of below
yes.
the
yes.
belly button
yes.
down that, you
yeah.
know, we have chronic, where people will have chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there can be a musculoskeletal component. Mm-hmm. And your body likes to move. Whether yes. you like it or not, your body likes to move and needs right. movement to help get that blood flow going, get the oxygen to the muscles. And so...
Which is goes back to the breathing.
Yes.
If you don't, if you're not breathing,
yes.
you can get blood flow
exactly.
to all the muscles, but you're yes. not getting much oxygen in
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Something I'm seeing in practice is oftentimes on labs, I'm seeing carbon dioxide higher than kind of the median range,
huh.
which I think has to do with this breathing thing where we're not fully exhaling mm-hmm. carbon dioxide out.
Yes.
So we're seeing it higher in labs,
so
especially in stressed patients,
yes.
which I would say every patient has some degree of stress, but in the more stressed patients, carbon dioxide tends to be higher, I think, from more shallow breathing.
Which affects everything.
Yeah. yes, exactly.
Everything. And yeah, people don't know how to breathe right now, it seems like.
I've heard the analogy, which I like, of our body is like a dog that needs to be walked. So even if we don't feel like even if we don't feel it, that dog needs to be walked.
Yes.
You know, you can't have a pet and just let it sit on the couch
yes.
all day.
We all need exercise. And
yeah.
it's cliche from a PT, but we do. Our body yearns to move. So,
and I always tell all my patients, it can really just be a daily walk for 20 minutes. That's better than nothing.
Yes.
You know, that each little step really does count. It doesn't have to be that they go start doing CrossFit
yes.
tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there any sort of... I don't know, anything come to mind that you want listeners to know about what we offer here and people out there who might not realize how much help coming into physical therapists would be? Just anything you want listeners to know?
Well, one, I hope they don't feel alone. There's a lot of people dealing with these issues and
mm-hmm.
that they're not alone. If they've seen a GI doc, a urologist, and they've gone to everybody and they're still having problems with whether it's incontinence, even urinary retention,
yes.
they can't seem to urinate.
Yes.
Constipation, fecal incontinence, pelvic pain. This may all be new for someone listening mm-hmm. right now.
Sexual dysfunction.
Sexual dysfunction.
Yep.
You can see your doc about seeing me or any pelvic health PT.
Yes.
Just to help them.
And along. Almost all docs will happily give referrals to PTs. I know I'm speaking for myself, but
yes.
but it's, you know, your doctor is... on your team to get better
yes.
and doing a referral takes
yes.
you know 30 seconds
yes not to discount anything that docs are doing. I'm just saying
absolutely.
They may not know that there's a resource for them
yes.
in this area
yeah and our and obviously patients will want to know insurance covers PT. Is there typically a limit to
like how many times?
Yes,
it depends.
Yes. Thank you.
No, it depends on your insurance.
Yeah.
But OHP, the state insurance, there's doing better at covering our clients, which has been great.
Yes.
So they can have access
yeah.
to this too.
Yeah. And most insurance seems to cover PT. I know some weird plans
yeah.
out there. Of course,
mm-hmm.
there's everything under the sun
yes.
out there, but some
yes.
plans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Including Medicare covers. Because
great to know. OHP, Medicare, and then
yeah.
obviously all the other
mm-hmm.
Regions, Providence,
yes.
Blue Cross, Blue Shield,
yes.
all of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's because I work at CMH. If you go see a private PT somewhere, I can't answer for them.
Sure.
Yes.
Right. Is there anyone else besides you doing pelvic PT work in our county that you know of?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And if people want to be able to reach you at CMH, what's the best way to reach you there or the phone number to PT or rehab there?
Yeah, it's CMH Rehab. It's 503-338-7555.
Great. And is there a website for them? There probably is.
There is.
Look
I should
up
know
CMH.
That.
It's under Rehab Services, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So under Columbia Memorial Hospital, Rehab Services, Physical Therapy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, CMH Rehab. It's the link through CMH.
Great. And any last parting words of wisdom?
No, just thank you for having me here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy to have you. And I'm happy to have more people like you willing to have conversations about health topics that people are not as comfortable with. Like
yes.
you said, it's easier if you have a cold, a cough, a rash to show up at the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here to say if there's anything going on from your belly button down,
yes,
that in your don't pelvic talk about. Bowl, it's as important.
Yes.
And there are lots of people working on this day in, day out.
Yes. And sexual health, I think, is important to talk about because that's a big thing. And
yes,
that people don't want to talk about.
That's right.
But it's a problem. So it should, yes, be addressed if it's applicable for with PT.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for being on here. And a very special thank you to Dylan Hauser-Schock for engineering my show, because I don't know how to work any of the buttons. I would not be putting this show live.
I appreciate it. Absolute honor. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Light on Health with my guest, Tiffany Nguyen. Join me on our next show when we'll be talking about some new and exciting health topic. It's my hope that we've enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. Have a great day.
Thank you.